Would you like to have your Bibles open at the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read 1-8. I'm going to read it in the NIV, and then I'm going to read it in this New Living Translation also. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the streets are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. The New Living Translation has it like this. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honour him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. Remember him before the light of the sun, moon and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble and before your shoulders the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women look through the windows, see dimly. Remember him before the door to life's opportunities is closed, and the sound of work fades. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. Remember him before you become fearful of falling, and worry about danger in the streets, before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom, and you drag along without energy, like a dying grasshopper, and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will weep at your funeral. Yes, remember your Creator now, while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken at the well, for then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to God who gave it. I notice that at the end of chapter 12, Koheleth says the words of the wise are like goads. The New English New Living Translation says like cattle prods. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, like goads. Their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. This morning, the word is like a cattle prod. It's like goads. We need to hear it because God knows us perfectly. He knows what is best for us. And it may feel at times this morning that it is uncomfortable what is being preached. We tend not to like those things which are uncomfortable, but God knows what is best for us. And therefore we should bow to his word and listen intently if we can, both young and old together. One of the reasons why we have found Koheleth so powerful in our hearing, I'm certain, is that he is so modern. And the reason why he is so modern is that he speaks about a world of despair that every one of us can see. It's a world of despair without God. And throughout the book, he touches on the meaninglessness of life, where all things are tainted by one thing. So it doesn't matter whether it's wealth or accomplishments or wisdom, the rest. All of these things are tainted and touched by one thing. They've got the sword of Damocles hanging over them. Death is everywhere. It will not go away. And so what he does is he brings at the end of his book, into sharp focus, he brings the question of death. And he appeals to the young people to listen carefully to what he has to say. He's saying that death forces a reality upon us. And in fact, one of the best ways that you could live your life, he says, is to have one foot in the grave. Always. In other words, you view life in the light of death. And then you'll see life as it really is, and not through some rose-tinted spectacle. And so this morning, it is my job, if you like, in this concluding chapter, again to appeal to the young, especially to those who are really, in fact, young. Whether you feel young at heart, well, great if you do, I'm pleased for you. But it is an appeal to the young, because often it's impossible to get anywhere with those who are old. He appeals to the young because so often you can get through to the young in a way that you can't get through to the old. Imagine if you've been a liar for 60 years. You practice lying all of your life. How are you going to give it up? How are you going to stop? It's ingrained within you. It won't just go away. You've depended on it. You rely upon it. You make business by it. Lying is, as it were, a part of your being. It's endemic to you. You can't get rid of it. How do you change someone like that? And of course the gospel comes and it urges repentance on people, and that's what people find so difficult. That's why the churches of the modern day have dropped the word repentance, because they know full well that that's the thing that will drive people from the pews. The word repentance means change, turn around, change your life and go in the opposite direction. That's what the gospel means. And so Koheleth, as it were, he appeals to the youth, because while you're young, you can listen to what I have to say, and it's very likely that by persuasion and by an inward transformation of God's Spirit, there can be a new beginning, a new life. Imagine somebody who's practiced sexual promiscuity all of their lives. How are they going to change? That doesn't mean to say they can't change or they can't be changed, because they can by the power of the gospel. But the appeal is while we are young, so that while we are young, we can listen to God's gospel, and all of the rest of our lives can be enveloped in the tender, loving arms, the gracious arms of God. What a difference it will make to the young people this morning to listen carefully and think very carefully about what he said. What must you do? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And to try to reach the youth is a difficult thing today, and yet God graciously brings to this church every week many young people, and we thank God for every one of them. And I want you to know that. And I don't forget you in the week. I don't just preach like this, but I think of you in the week and I pray for you. I don't put you out of my mind. But it is Koheleth's desire, God's desire, my desire to reach out to young people that they might be changed and transformed now in their young lives. Now you'll notice in the passage that we have read so far you saw how he called on nature first of all to show the inevitable decline of our lives. A day comes when the sun and the moon and the stars can't be seen, perhaps through real blindness. A day comes when the clouds come. You know, when we're young, the clouds come, but they go away again. They come, they go away again. But when in old age they come, they keep coming, they keep coming, the clouds of trouble, one thing after another, after another, after another. That's the picture. So it is the picture of one trouble and then the beginning of another and so on and so forth. But now you can see in the passage, he turns now to this picture of a house, a decaying estate. And as I prepared, I couldn't help but think of my own home, the old school in Skelmanthorpe where I live, and how it had been built in the 1860s. But by the time we took it on in 1984, it was in a decaying state. It had lived for over 100 years and it was beginning to crumble and decay. And if we don't look after it, it continues to decay. This is atrophy. This is the breakdown of life. This is life. This is what happens. And so now Koheleth, he takes this image of the decaying house to teach us some things that we might otherwise not take on board. And he does it in the most extraordinary detail. So my plan this morning is just to go through one after another after another. Now imagine this house. It once had former glories. It had power. It must have had style and hospitality. Oh, the things that went on in that house. But now it's just a place of relics. It's aged. It's on its way out. Its heyday is just a distant memory. And for this reason, you'll notice that when people get older, they like to talk. When you meet them, they like to talk about the past. They like to recall their days of youth. Of course they do. That's natural. In the heyday, when this house was so grand, when it was like this and it was like that, and the former glories and the power and the style and the liveliness of it all. But now it's decaying. And in many ways, I would just say to all of you, it's a mercy of God that we decline slowly. It is. It's a mercy of God that we don't fall into immediate ruin, but that we decline slowly. So this enables us to see the future. It's a chance for you. Those of you who are getting older now, it's a chance for you in decline, because you are going into decline. Of course you are. Thank God that you don't fall into immediate ruin. And so I say this morning, the old need to be studied. The title this morning is Study Old. Have your eyes open. There's plenty of old people around. Study old. Now what is he driving at when he says, in effect, study old? He's driving at this, that you as young people particularly, if you don't listen to me now, you'll get lost in your own youthfulness. But if you listen to me and you take something away this morning, you'll go on for the rest of your lives, and you will actually, you'll be willing to look at, as difficult as it might be, to look at and study old. Well, here he is. Koheleth is going to help you whether you like it or not. What does he say first of all? The keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. It's the picture of the shoulders, it's the picture of the arms, if you like, of the hands hanging down. Imagine this, the hands, once so manipulative, of every will, of every desire, the hands, the arms hanging down. These are the hands that once built so powerfully, but now they are hanging down. Not a brick will be laid by those hands again. Not a stitch will be sewn by those hands again. Not a mobile phone will be engaged again. The keepers of the house tremble. And you will have seen this. As people get older, their arms, their hands limp and even trembling. And when you think of all that our hands today can make and do, young person, just think, will you, of your hands and your arms. And I'm asking you, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. God has given you your hands and your arms. I learned years ago, because of two frozen shoulders, from my work as an artist, the shoulder joint is the most complex joint in the whole body. It is extraordinary how God has made us. While you're young, learn to glorify God. Think of what happens when your shoulder just freezes up and what you can't do. You can't tuck your shirt in. You can't fold your arms. It's an impossibility. It can't be done. The shoulder joint is so beautifully constructed. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I'm saying to the young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Think of what hands have done. Just think for a moment. Give me a moment. Think of what hands have done. Hands have built the world that we live in. The skyscrapers, the ships and the trains and the aeroplanes. The robots at Nissan that build cars were built by hands. The great works of art by men like Rembrandt, who I love, were built by human hands. Several years ago, some of you know that I had an operation, a major operation. And what the surgeon did is he cut, I think, 4 or 5 incisions into my abdomen, and then they put a robot inside. So this arm of the robot goes inside, and it does the most delicate operation. But it's controlled by a joystick, by a brilliant surgeon with brilliant hands. He directed the hands. But these hands, Kohelet says, these arms, these shoulders, they lie limp, they shake. It's all gone. What a picture of the world that we live in and the world which is before us. Study old. Have a look. Look at your own hands and your own lives today and be thankful to God. But look at the old and think carefully about the future. He says also that the strong men stoop. When we're young, the human frame is carried with such vigor. Of course it is. When we're young, our legs get us about so easily. We can run for miles when we're older. And older and older, we might not even walk yards. The change is extraordinary. And every time I see an older person shuffling along the street very slowly, you've seen it, I remember these verses. People say, oh, the Bible's irrelevant. I've got nothing to say. This is it. Oh, it's very relevant. To the young people, I would say this. Go around with your eyes open. Look again at the old. Look at that fragile old man. Look at that fragile old woman. Open your eyes. And listen to this. It doesn't even need the full term of life to reach this point. Because statistics show that many people reach this stage before what we call old age ever comes to pass. So think very carefully about what I say this morning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I don't know the details, but I heard on the radio just in the background this week that Stephen Fry has discovered that he has prostate cancer. And I think he's been operated on. And I heard him say, in his particular flamboyant way, he said, when I hear the word cancer, I think other people, but I never think me. And now he said, it's me. And the problem with youth is that we never think it will be us, ever. And Kohelet, knowing that there is an eternity that awaits every one of us, he stresses on the young people, remember your Creator now, while you have the chance. So, what is next? Look at it. when the strong men stoop, and then he says, when the grinders cease, because they are few. He's talking about teeth. When the grinders cease, they've done their work. And I know that many people today, this is typical of us in our generation, oh, we've got the best dentists in the world now. We've got the best dental care. That's if you can get a dentist, I guess. The best dental care in the world. We don't need to bother about all of this. I wouldn't want to tell you about the dental care that I had in with the old school dentist at Hondley. And it's X-rated. It's for adults only, that those stories. I'd never want to tell you about it. But thankfully, those times have gone. But here is a picture when the teeth grow weak and they break, and one by one they give way. They've been used to death. And for many old people in the past, we know that they had false teeth, they had dentures and the rest. And people will say, oh, well, that's a thing of the past. But you see, the mouth shrinks and the gums shrink. The teeth can't be contained. Doesn't matter what fantastic plastic surgery and the rest of the surgery that there is. This is coming. He's moving us visually. You can see that, Kohelet. He's saying, here, can't you see the house decays? And it decays so very quickly. When you look at your teeth, thank God, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Thank Him for the wonderful design that He has given to us. And I think that often in later years, as people get older, I saw this with my mother as she got really much, much older. How she'd had her teeth all of her life. They'd never, ever fallen out, which is amazing, when she was born in 1928. But as she got older and older, her teeth started to break and fall out. And it saddened me to see it. But it's one of the signs, of course, of the very end of life. God is telling us by these ways, steadily, slowly, gradually, that there is decline. We're on our way out. Look at the text. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. I said last week that there might be blindness, but here is a picture of failing sight. And I said also last week, what a thought, when we won't be able to perhaps one day clearly see those who we love, and all is a haze and a mist. We think of those who have lost their sight in history. I think of the great artist Degas, who lost his sight and all of his colours lost their sharpness. What a pain that must have been to him. And I think today, all of us, look at us, we've got our glasses, of course, but look, we can all see. And so I appeal to all of you while you've got your sight, young people, I don't want to make you do anything, I wouldn't dream of it. But you could all pick up a Bible in the week and read the Word of God. You've got hindsight. You've all got time. You've got enough time to read a portion of Scripture every day. Use your days. The day may come when sight is gone. And when you think of what your sight is used for, often for nothings, for passing fancies, what we would call trifling things. And yet eyesight could be used to such great advantage. When you think about your eyes, glorify God for them. They are extraordinary, but one day they begin to diminish. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while you see so clearly. Thank God for them. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed. Oh, when the doors to the street are closed. I think this is that old person who's stuck inside. I think that's what this is. Nowhere to go. And no one perhaps to go to. Could you imagine that one day you would be like that? Nowhere to go and no one to go to. Stuck inside, severely restricted. Eyesight fades. Eyesight won't permit me to move around safely as I did before, when my legs and arms hang down and I shake. My teeth are gone. He says, when the sound of grinding fades, I think that's the picture of the mill with the grinding of the corn, where the crunching and the grinding sounds of grinding of corn, that would be picked up and heard. But now the hearing is gone as well. Once when we were young, we picked up every sound, but now the idea, the picture is that hearing begins to fail. And we know that more and more old people need hearing aids, assists to their hearing. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So what a picture. Teeth falling out. Eyesight diminished, stuck inside, perhaps alone, hearing impaired. And as I preach like this, there'll be those who just still are bothered. They couldn't care less. They're not listening. You're here, but you're not listening. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to go out as you came in. It's not going to make any difference. I sense it. It's as if I know it all. I know all this, but I'm still not going to do anything. What a picture this is of our decaying life. He adds something here, you'll see it. He says, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, oh, you know what that is? It's when someone sleeps so shallow. So even if they haven't lost their hearing is good, there's still something that messes stuff up, that messes sleep up. So even the slightest sound of the birds wakes the old. I remember my wife had a real issue with one of our children when in teenage years. She couldn't get... Well, I've got three boys. One of the boys just could not get out of bed. And Dan, who are you looking at? And she threatened on many occasions to actually dump a bucket of water on him in the morning, Saturday mornings particularly. I remember it. I won't mention who it is. I don't want to. I don't want to embarrass that. And they're not all here. Typical of teenagers. Can't get them up. Is that you, George? Some mornings. Saturday morning. Yeah. My wife used to say a bomb wouldn't wake Josh. Oh, sorry about that. But here we are. We get to old age and just slightest noise. That's what he means. And up and away, very, very shallow experience of sleep on a nightly basis. What an amazing thing, these things that plague old age. You can see in the fifth verse the feebleness of life, the danger of what? Well, the danger of falling. Have you ever seen an old person tentatively stepping off a curb? It seems incredible. That person once used to just run and bounce off this thing and off that thing. This person now tentatively reaches her foot out to come off the sidewalk, off the curb, to get reassurance before he or she steps down. The fear of heights. That's what that is. And life on the street, whoa, what will happen? A terror of life on the street, apprehension and anxiety about what's going to happen next. Dare I go out? I'm afraid perhaps something might happen to me. And then he says this, he says, oh, but not only that, He says, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the street. When the almond tree blossoms, this person is afraid to perhaps step even off the curb. And as you look at them, you recognise their age, because as the almond tree blossoms, their hair has started to go grey and silver, and now it's gone white. So even if they're hearing is not impaired, even if this hasn't happened or that hasn't happened, there'll be something else that definitely has come to pass in their lives. The feebleness of life. Now, no one here this morning has an excuse to be caught in old age and to say, it sort of crept up on me and I didn't see it coming. These are all the things that God gives to life so that we might take things more seriously. These things are warnings. Journey's end is coming, and it's coming much sooner than you think. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I've said this before. If someone here who comes to this church dies, and they die without the Lord, and they do not know Him, there has been no repentance or faith in Jesus Christ, they have never been born again of the Spirit of God, they're dying in their sins and they're going to hell. Not because I say so, but because the Lord Jesus says so. That's the truth. I have to tell you this. I have to warn you like this morning, out of kindness. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Do you remember when you were like, Kohelet says, a grasshopper? Oh, he pictures the grasshopper now. Oh, what an amazing thing. The grasshopper drags itself along and desire is no longer stirred. The grasshopper leaping from stone to stone, from flower to flower. We were once like that. Can you recall it? Recall it. It's easy to do it. Of course it is. It's a picture of life as vitality. And now life is just a burden. And desire is no longer stirred. Perhaps it means all desire. I've got this picture in my mind about desire as I thought about the message. It may well mean sexual desire. That may also disappear. But I think it means all desire. I remember my dad. My dad passed on love of football to me. So I love football. My dad did. He passed it on to me. When he got to his very last days of his life, he couldn't be bothered. He just couldn't be bothered with it. I'd say to him, Dad, come and watch the cup final, because we'd watched almost every cup final together since I was a kid. He couldn't be bothered. Desire, even for the game, could not be stirred. You see, the idea is that the energy of life that was once so buoyant is now flat. It's spent. The day is ended. It is a very, very sad sight indeed. And I'm saying to all of you this morning, we can't, we must not run away from the sight of the old. Study old. Make it a study of life. Not just through the conclusion of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, but for the rest of your life. I'm coming to the end. It says, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. People go to their eternal home. There's a new home coming. Didn't you know? There's a new home to go to. If you're 20 now, you might have another 60 years, 50 years, 40 years. If you're 50, you might have another 20 years, but you're going to a new home. Everyone here is going to another home. This is just a brief moment. Look how Kohelet puts it. Look at what he says. Then people go to their eternal home. It's a place of eternity, friends. He doesn't speak of heaven and hell. That's not his work. His work is that's left to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus will do that. His work is to convince us principally of the brevity of life, a life that is so brief set against eternity. He says, listen up, young people. Listen up. Then people go to their eternal home. So I'm saying to all of you, eternity is upon us, whether we like it or know it or not. The clock is ticking. And it's only a matter of time, Koheleth says, before the funeral cottage makes its way down to the cemetery. And all the mourners are there, saying, do you remember my mum? Do you remember my dad? Remember my brother? Remember my sister? It's all over. Eternity is now before that person. The mourners go about the streets. He observes it so clearly. And I say in conclusion to all of you this morning, why are you flat-footed? In the light of all this, if I were a doctor and I came to you and I said, you're diseased like this, do you know what? You'd be at it like that. Oh, you wouldn't be flat-footed. You'd be up for action straight away if the doc said, this is what you need to do. Oh, you'd want to do it immediately. But when the physician of souls comes and he seeks to persuade us, we're all flat-footed, dazzled like rabbits in headlights of this world, living it up for the 70 years as if there's nothing else. Are you flat-footed this morning? Oh, I've got this final word for you. Death is a juggernaut. You read it in 1 Corinthians 15. It's coming. It cannot be stopped. It's on its way. And the only thing that can do anything to change its power is to alter my relationship with God. And to alter my relationship with God, I must know the Lord Jesus Christ. He must become my Saviour. And he must be the one who changes on that great day my mortality into immortality. For the mortal shall put on immortality. They will. And eternity will dawn upon us. What's waiting you, friends? What's waiting you in eternity? What's waiting for you? What's waiting for you? Not for him or her, what's waiting for you? I'm asking you this morning, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If I can't get through to the old people and they will not listen, it's because you've been at your sin for so long. You can't give it up. You're wedded to it. You're not going to give way to it, not for anything. You're not going to be saved. You're determined that you will come at the day of judgment under the wrath of God and come to hell. You're determined. I'm telling you, that's the truth of it. But for the young people who have not allowed sin to actually take, as it were, a master hold over your life for years and years and years, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Come to Christ. Come to the Saviour. Come and believe in Him. What must I do? Quickly, let me tell you, what must I do? I must acknowledge the truth about who I am. Forget about anybody else. It's about you. Acknowledge the truth about who I am. I am a sinful person in the sight of a holy God. I come and I bring my sins to that God because I can't deal with them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died upon the cross, can deal with them and does deal with them. Take your sins to him and lay them on him and let him be your Saviour. And do you know what? He will be your Saviour most gladly, because that is why he came. And he will save you, and you will be translated from death to life. You'll have remembered your Creator in the days of your youth, and for the rest of your lives, you'll be able to go on. It's not a long life, it's a short life. But for the rest of this life and for all eternity, you'll be with the Lord. What a wonderful thought. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I wonder if, as I finish now, if I said to all the young people, I'm going to come round all of you and I'm going to talk to all of you this morning, and I'm going to talk to you about what I've preached on. Whether you can engage with me, can you talk to me about these things? Can you? Do you think you can? Do you think you can talk to me about the things I've preached on this morning? Can you give me a reason for not being a believer? for not being a Christian? Can you give me a reason for not repenting of your sin? If I come to you, if I were to do that, and not just talk to you about how well Brighton did on Saturday, but something else. Eternal things. Well, I might just do that. Don't run out of the door at the end of the meeting. Nothing to be afraid of. We'll have some coffee together, and perhaps we have time to chat. May God bless his work to our hearts this morning. Amen.